Chapter 1. 7,000 miles away from that otherworldly corner of Afghanistan, the lights flickered off and on in my Bethesda, Maryland rental house. Rain pelted against the cellar window and dripped onto the sill through a crack in the glass. I watched a small pool of rain swell until it overflowed in a thin stream down the wall, the trickle triggering in me a disproportionate flood of doom. It was September 2012. I was living temporarily in a one-bedroom basement apartment with my fiancé, my 14-year-old daughter Catherine, a stray cat, and God knew how many camelback crickets. Catherine's makeshift room had no walls, only crimson bedsheets attached by clothespins to a rope I strung along the ceiling. The setup cost $13.91 from the hardware store. Not bad. There was no kitchen. We boiled macaroni in a microwave and ate on paper plates. Putting the best spin I could on the latest Dickensian twist in our lives, I told Catherine hardship was good for her. She would thank me one day. She shot me a look that said, maybe, maybe not. As a war correspondent turned author, I'd been surviving on savings for most of the past year. I was near the end of a torturous 4-year separation and divorce, and was trying to help my 4 children survive the fallout from a failed relationship that I could never make up for. I was having to assert my right of media privilege to keep my book materials out of divorce court. All of which explained why we were holed up in the basement. I had sublet the upstairs to 4 foreign students, 3 Chinese and 1 Dutch, who were covering my rent. Everything had been going all right until one of the Chinese had a chauvinistic fit and posted a sign on his bedroom door warning, "No dogs or Europeans allowed." Under other circumstances, I would have kicked him out. But I could not. I needed his money. So instead, I kept trying to make peace, which was one of my bigger mistakes in life. A sharp rap on the door at the top of the musty stairwell alerted me that one of the students wanted something. I ran up the stairs, opened the door, and came face to face with the rich, overweight Chinese bully holding an overflowing hamper of dirty laundry. "I'll wash that," I said, determined to keep his toxicity out of our space. "Do you want everything in the dryer?" He nodded. "I'll put it back at the top of the stairs when it's done," I said. I closed the door. "Peace out, bitches." I dumped his laundry into the washer, braced myself against the machine with both hands, and took a deep breath. Then, when I thought nothing else could go wrong, the storm hit. I rushed upstairs to shut the windows, just in time to see a huge gust of wind blow a sheet of rain across the backyard and send a 60-foot-tall oak tree crashing through the roof of the house, inches from where I stood. It wasn't supposed to be this way. I was supposed to be sitting in a lounge chair on a beach, sipping a glass of wine, enjoying my family and professional success. How had I gotten here? A Kansas native, along with my parents, I drew inspiration from the pioneer roots and open prairies of my childhood. Growing up in Seattle, Ireland, and Greece, I was given every advantage a middle-class family of 6 could offer. My dad, an economics professor, had high expectations for me and never handicapped me because I was a girl. He taught me to sail, ski, do math, and change a tire. He had the wisdom to make me work at a local Texaco gas station at the age of 14. My first task was to clean the men's bathroom. My mother, who had a master's degree in education but chose to be a stay-at-home mom, taught me courage and advised me to always have the ability to be independent. And my parents let me run. I traveled alone in the Greek islands at the age of 15, and at 17 worked as a paramedic in Nicaragua. As a Harvard undergraduate, I earned an honors degree in government and East Asian studies, spent a year studying social sciences in French at the selective Institut d'Études Politiques in Paris, and did stints researching China at the State Department and Central Intelligence Agency. From there, I went to Hong Kong to study Mandarin Chinese on a graduate fellowship from the Rotary Club. Bridling at the constraints of government work, I decided I was better cut out to serve the public through journalism.